This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
People, Planet, Profit is brought to you by UMW Toyota.
Good morning. You're listening to People, Planet, Profit, the show where we explore developments and debate in the ESG space. I'm Shahzada Mokhtar. As the world embraces ESG principles, there is a parallel push for rhetoric to be matched by action. Businesses who want to show that they're genuine in their pursuit of ESG objectives can consider getting certified. And today we're looking at ISO 14001 on environmental management systems as one such avenue. Joining me to discuss this is Darren Tang, CEO of Nexus Consultancy. Darren, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Shahzada. Thank you very much for having me.
So the acronym ISO refers to, of course, the International Standards Organization. And as their name suggests, they are a body that sets common standards in doing business across all sectors of the global economy. Can you elaborate on the kinds of standards that the ISO covers and how they've managed to get that dominant position in terms of standard development?
ISO actually stands for International Organization for Standardization, okay, which was established back in year 1946 as an international NGO. At that point of time, there were 25 members, and it has grown up to 171 members right now. And each country will send one member, so therefore we have around 171 countries which are members of ISO. So their objective of setting up with ISO is actually to facilitate trading and cooperation between globally or internationally. So how to do that is through the development of standards. And ISO has up to date developed more than 25,000 standards. Basically, they have standards that covers from the management to healthcare to manufacturing as well as to environmental sustainability.
So when you say that there are 170 members of ISO, I presume Malaysia is also one of them.
Correct. Malaysia is represented by Department of Standards Malaysia, and we joined in year 1969.
So this is considered the United Nations of standard setting, I suppose. It's the body that all the countries are part of, and they work together to ensure that all the countries operate on the same type of rules across all these different industries. Yeah?
Correct. It is to facilitate trading. For example, if let's say you were to manufacture a pen and then you want to sell it to another, a different country, then how would that country would be able to know that your pen is actually produced with quality or compliance with the environmental legal requirements or not. So that is true certification.
And would ISO standards be considered the gold standard in Malaysia, or are there other bodies that also offer similar certifications?
ISO standards will be considered the common ones. Okay, we there are other standards, but not as prominent as ISO. There are different countries which requires a different certification, which are non-ISO. So it depends on which country that you are serving as well as which country that you're exporting to, for example.
I see. We have our own standards as well, right? Malaysian standards,
Yes, correct. But if we were to talk about the management system standards, for example, the environmental management systems, we do have Malaysian standards, but it is actually adopted from the ISO standards.
I see. So a lot of it is a lot of cross-referencing between the ISO and perhaps other standards have occurred in terms of ESG and the environment. From what we see, ISO standards predate the ESG buzz. Like you said, it was from, 1946? Yep. So we've had ISO long before ESG came into the picture. How do the two intersect? Have we seen the ISO develop standards specific to the rise of ESG?
I would say yes. Okay, it is actually quite significantly in intercept. Okay, for example, the environment. There are ISO standards. Okay, which would focus on the environmental aspect of it. For example, this ISO 14001 that we are talking about today, which are focused on effective environmental management system to prevent pollution. And then there is the ISO 14064, which is actually a greenhouse gas emissions quantifying and reporting. So this standard actually helps organizations to provide accurate and verifiable greenhouse gas data. So as for the social, so there is the ISO 45001, occupational health and safety management system, in order to prevent injury and ill health from occurring at the workplace. Okay, and if we look at the governance, okay, a company can consider the ISO 37001 anti-bribery management system in order to prevent bribery and promote ethical business culture, which is vital for good governance.
So these standards have actually all existed before ESG even came about, yeah?
That's
They've
right.
been there for companies to rely on and also to get certification on these segments to show that they are following the rules and the best practices of it.
That's right.
We spoke about ISO 14001, looking at environmental management systems. Can you elaborate more on what that means? What does EMS actually refer to?
Environmental management system actually refers to, or the ISO 14001 actually refers to the standard in order to establish an effective environmental management system. So in order to prevent pollution, because when an organization operates, so there will be different types of pollutants, for example, the air emissions, okay, or the water discharge, or waste generation, or even noise generation. Okay, so ISO 14001 is a standard in order to manage all these pollutants, okay, to manage, to reduce, or to mitigate so that it will not impact the environment.
So the key word here is pollution and how to minimize those effects that a business produces, right?
Yep.
I've covered other ESG metrics or certification on the show, such as the Global Reporting Initiative and the B Corp movement. Would the ISO 14001 be seen as equivalent to these certifications, or are they something different?
I would say it is something different. But however, it can complement these different ESG frameworks. Okay, because ESG reporting is about disclosing the organization's performance with regards to the environmental, social, and governance. So we can use ISO 14001 or other relevant ISO standards to complement this. For example, the ISO 14001 would require an organization to monitor, measure, and continually improve the environmental performance, okay, which aligns well with the ESG reporting requirements that demand disclosure on environmental impact as well as sustainability practices. We can align the objective, targets, and programs that an organization measures, okay, when they establish the ISO management system. Align it with the results of their ESG materiality assessment and also their performance target on what they are reporting and disclosing. For example, let's say the amount of waste generation is material to an organization, then we can set objective in the ISO 14001 environmental management system, example, to reduce certain percentage of waste generated per year. Okay, so then we start compiling the data on how much waste is generated and determine if the target has been achieved. So other examples could be to measure the air emissions, the greenhouse gas emissions, noise generated, quality of water discharge, total energy consumed, and align this with the different ESG reporting frameworks.
Okay, so in that sense, ISO 14001 provides that setting to collect the data that all these other certifications or metrics are requesting for.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm speaking to Darren Tang, CEO of Nexus Consultancy. We'll have more from this conversation after the break. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Thanks for staying tuned to People, Planet, Profit on The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar. Today, we're discussing the environmental management standard, ISO 14001, and how it can help businesses looking to improve their green footprint. I have with me today Darren Tang, CEO of Nexus Consultancy. So earlier, we were talking a little bit about what the ISO 14001 covers. It really focuses on minimizing the pollution impact that a business has. Why should businesses consider getting ISO 14001? And I'm curious to see what the take-up rate is here in Malaysia based on your observations. Is this a certification that many companies are seeking?
So based on the ISO survey carried out, we have the latest data that was carried out on 2022. So as of 2022, we have 2,858 certificates issued for ISO 14001.
Is that a good number? It sounds kind of small considering the business landscape in Malaysia.
In the whole Malaysia, we have around 19,000 certificates issued in various certification, ISO 9001, ISO 45001, 14001, ISO 22000. But from what we see, from what we have observed, the take-up rate or the demand for ISO 14001 has been increasing for the past 1 to 2 years.
And why is that? What are the driving factors for companies seeking ISO 14001?
There will be different motivation in order to go for the ISO 14001. Probably it could be due to the demand of whether an organization is sustainable or not. Because we have seen many companies that say that, my buyers now are requesting for the environmental sustainability, so we need to provide something to the buyer. If not, then they may not consider us in among the supply chain.
Mm.
So that could be a factor. But there are also other benefits of going for ISO 14001. For example, the enhanced environmental performance. Okay. Example in reduction of our waste production, or even a reduction in resources consumption. We have organizations, or we have previously done a rubber product manufacturing company, which come back to us and say that, hey, after implementing ISO 14001, we have managed to reduce electricity consumption. So the electricity bill has become smaller.
Mm.
Okay, and then businesses would also be able to achieve the reduction in pollution emissions by knowing what caused the pollution and coming up with measures to reduce them. For example, we have also a customer that is that has a workshop and does spray painting. So as you know, the spray paint would actually cause air pollution. So before embarking on ISO 14001, so their workshop is actually was not enclosed. So throughout the journey of the ISO 14001, they have installed PVC curtains and also installed air filters at their spraying area in order to minimize the air pollutants.
Do you happen to see that ISO 14001 is more popular among certain economic sectors than others? Are there certain businesses that would benefit more from getting certified than others, from your observations?
From what we observe, the companies that go for ISO 14001 in Malaysia, they are mainly manufacturers, manufacturers of different types, for example, chemical, plastic, or metal, rubber products manufacturers, or food manufacturers, or electrical equipment manufacturers. I think due to the what they use during the operations, or what are their processes, because manufacturers tend to have chemicals, tend to have, for example, boilers, equipments that will pollute the environment. So manufacturers, a lot of these manufacturers are going for ISO 14001 certification. Others we see are, for example, property developers, construction industries, services too, like engineering and maintenance services as well. Maintenance services that use a lot of oil, petrol, diesels.
Are the people or are the businesses looking for ISO 14001, do they tend to be more plugged into the global supply chain, I suppose? Is it international pressure that's driving businesses to seek this certification? Or is it also, are we also seeing it in the domestic landscape?
We are seeing it at both ends. Okay. I would say that I would tend to agree that it probably started with some pressure, okay, from the buyers, as we were discussing just now, that I now only want to buy from sustainable companies.
Mm.
So there are such pressures. And we have even seen some of our customers passing to us their customers' questionnaire. Okay, do you have an ISO 14001 certification? Please attach that certificate. So we do see that. But apart from that, we do see that there are also more and more companies which are more socially responsible or environmentally responsible and going and taking up the ISO 14001 as their own company initiative.
I see. Mm. Okay, so it goes both ways.
Yep, that's
so right. Walk me through the certification process, because I'm imagining it to be quite tedious and data dependent. And it sounds like a lot of modifications need to be made in order to comply with what the ISO 14001 requires. requires. So can you walk me through what the typical process would be like for a company interested to get the certification?
First of all, they would need to develop an environmental management system that meets this ISO 14001 standard. We can actually reflect these standard requirements into what we call the PDCA model, the Plan, Do, Check, Act model. Plan in your organizations, what are the things that can pollute the environment? What are the legal requirements that you need to comply to? What are the competency that you would need in order for you to comply to these requirements? After we plan, then knowing all the things that we will pollute the environment, the legal requirements, the competency requirements, then we come up with objectives, we come up with processes, procedures, in order to mitigate those environmental impacts. Then you carry out your activities or your processes according to what you have planned, according to what you have developed in your procedures. So that's do, implement it, implement the system. And then check, monitor, measure, the performance, your environmental performance against what you have planned. When you monitor and measure, if there is any gap, then you determine what are those gaps. You come up with the root cause analysis, in order to prevent it from happening again or in order to improve it. So that is act on the improvement. So that's PDCA. So basically, you need to comply to these components, then implement it for at least 3 months. Based on what we have observed also, a comfortable duration of around 6 to 8 months would be comfortable in order to establish the system and then implement it.
I see.
So when you're ready, get certification body to come in and audit you. So stage one is auditing on the documentation that you have established, the procedures, to see whether it meets the ISO 14001 standard requirements or not. Stage two is whether your organization comply to the procedures that you have established or not. Should there be no non-conformity, then you will be awarded the certification.
I see.
Should there be a non-conformity, then you would need to rectify. You need to close it before you can be awarded the certification.
So who is the auditing body in Malaysia? Is it the Department of Standards or CIRIM? They the ones who do the auditing?
Department of Standards Malaysia is what we call the accreditation body. And CIRIM would get the recognition, to carry out the certification. So CIRIM is an example of certification bodies, and we have other certification bodies in Malaysia, such as from UK, BSI, SGS from Switzerland, we have LOIX, we have Intertech.
I see. So all of these would also be able to provide ISO 14001 certification.
That's right.
What about in terms of cost? Because that's always the big issue when it comes to businesses and whether they want to take on these ESG guidelines, right? How much extra will it cost them? There is the perception that getting ESG certification is more expensive than it's worth. So what are your observations or what's your advice on that? Because the certification has its own cost, right?
Yep, that's right.
And then there's also the capex that may be needed to modify your processes.
Correct.
How do businesses handle that?
Certification costs would depend on various factors. For example, the size of the organization, the number of personnel, the scope of certification, the location, number of sites, for example. So certification body will use this data and calculate the audit mandates required. So let's take, for example, a manufacturer with less than 25% or 25 manpower. Certification costs may be around 8,000 ringgit to 10,000 ringgit. So that will include the stage one, stage two audit that we were discussing just now, and also including the application fees.
Is this a recurring fee, like something that has to be paid every year?
There would be. A certification body would do a recurring audit, yes, which we call the surveillance audit. So your certificate will be valid for 3 years, And then on the second year, they will come back for the surveillance audit. And then subsequently, the third year, they will come back for another round of surveillance audit. And when your certificate is due, they will come back and do the recertification audit.
In which case, the same costs come to play again?
Yeah, I would think more or less so, yes.
Okay,
more or less so.
All right. But I suppose something that businesses would think about is you may have to pay these certification costs, but at the same time, you're also gaining costs from the sustainability measures that you're taking, right? So it has to be balanced on that front.
Correct. So you would be, you would be enjoying the sustainability factors or showing that you are responsible in terms of sustainability. And also, I would think that it gets you into the global trade and supply chain.
So more business.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. More business.
Okay. And what about government support for businesses who want to pursue ISO 14001 certification? Is there incentives? Does the government try to encourage this?
From what I know, there is no incentive specifically aimed at acquiring the ISO 14001 certification for local businesses. There is the double tax deduction. According to our Income Tax Act, there is the benefit of the double tax deduction if an organization seeks ISO certification from certification body that is accredited by the Department of Standards Malaysia.
Okay, so that tax incentive is there if you embark on ISO 14001. Darren, thank you so much for speaking with me today and helping us understand what goes into getting ISO certified.
Thank you very much, Alzana. Thank you very much for having me.
I've been speaking to Darren Tang, CEO of Nexus Consultancy. This has been People, Planet, Profit on The Morning Run. We have the 10 a.m. News Bulletin coming up next. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
People, Planet, Profit was brought to you by UMW Toyota. Move your world.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.